Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Over the course of the last year in Lee County, at least 30 homeless individuals lost their lives while living on the streets or in shelters. This Friday evening, the Lee County Homeless Coalition will memorialize them and draw attention to the ongoing issue of homelessness in the county during its 22nd annual Candlelight Vigil for the Homeless. It's Friday, December 21st at 6 p.m. on the steps of the old Lee County Courthouse in downtown Fort Myers. I'm joined today by the Coalition's Executive Director, Janet Bartos, to get a handle on the issue of homelessness in Lee County. Janet, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me here today and giving me this opportunity to encourage the community to join us on Friday and help us support our advocacy efforts for those who are homeless.
Also, this Friday evening at 6:45 at Gilchrist Park in Punta Gorda, the nonprofit Gulf Coast Partnership is going to hold its homeless memorial vigil to raise awareness about the homeless situation in Charlotte County. I'm also joined by Kelly Hunter. She's the Director of Coordinated Services at Gulf Coast Partnership. Kelly, thanks for being with us as well.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Also, if you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, our listeners can give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So, Janet, how did this past year compare to previous years in terms of the number of homeless people who died while living on the streets or in shelters?
Well, this year, we're honoring 31 people that died. So this is the highest number we've ever paid tribute to. So it's a large number this year. It's been like 18, maybe 20.
Oh, wow.
So 31 is a big jump.
That's a significant increase. Kelly, how many homeless people passed away up in Charlotte County while homeless?
This year we had about 11, I believe, that we know of. And that is about a half an increase, about double since last year. So we're definitely seeing an increase, and we're doing everything that we can to make sure that this isn't something that continues in our community.
Definitely don't want that to become a trend. Janet, can you tell me, is there a general thing that people are dying from when they're in a homeless situation? Is it a hunger issue? Is it an exposure issue?
Well, people who have lived on the streets a very long time have a lot of chronic health challenges. They die from illnesses that could have been prevented or treated. You know, it's difficulty getting rest or maintaining your medication and eating well and staying clean. So other illnesses that you or I could get treated sometimes cause them to pass away.
Well, when you're trying to simply survive, self-care usually isn't front and center.
Correct.
It's got to be tough to take care of things. So, Kelly, are these vigils part of a national effort?
Yes. Actually, the vigil is a national effort that began in 1990, and it has taken place every year since across the country in various communities. And it's generally held on the first day of winter, which is the longest night of the year. And the purpose is to really help to raise awareness to those surrounding issues of homelessness and honoring the lives that have been lost due to being homeless.
So, Janet, why do you feel like it's important then that people come out to remember the people that passed away on the streets or in shelters?
Well, like Kelly said, one thing, it's the longest night of the year, and the date's chosen to remind us of the conditions that those who are homeless endure. We want to keep the cause of ending homelessness a priority, and we want people to commit to doing our part to help those citizens in need. You know, these are our people. These are mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, and they're just like you and I. And oftentimes they passed away all alone, and this vigil is most likely their only memorial service.
Do you see that to be the case also up in Charlotte County, Kelly?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, this year I was asked to organize, and I've been a part of it throughout the year, so I had never been asked to organize it. So, you know, when I set out to start putting everything together and gathering the names, I really had a difficult time finding obituaries and pictures. And it really broke my heart because you really do start to realize that sometimes we are goals that these individuals have. They become lost and they become, you know, invisible to society and, you know, oftentimes just go unnoticed. And that's not fair. Everyone deserves a home. And nobody deserves to die in the woods or on the streets when it could have been prevented.
And Janet, how do you go about finding information about these people? Is this a moment where at this vigil you kind of learn a little bit about the human being?
Well, what I do is I ask the case managers and the outreach workers in Lee County, and some of them send me names throughout the year. I also ask, get information from the County Indigent Burial Plan and find out who passed away this past year. Mm-hmm. So with such a large increase in the number, I was hoping that the reason might be that we're just connecting people more to services, so we were able to find out more information. But I don't know that that's necessarily true. That was just my hope.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about how people find themselves in a position of becoming homeless. And I've been doing a lot of stories throughout the year on affordable housing and the lack of affordable housing in our area, and how a lot of times people in our area, I mean, and across the country, find themselves stretched to a point where it's paycheck to paycheck, and one little disaster that could be little to one person will be huge and put somebody out on the streets pretty easily at this point. Is that what you're seeing? Are you both seeing an increase in the number of homeless people in our areas as a result of the cost of housing?
Yes, I'm seeing a lack of affordable housing for people that with very low incomes. Just like you said, one little accident, illness, loss of a job, and the whole they can spiral into homelessness.
Are you seeing that in Charlotte County as well, Kelly?
Absolutely. I mean, rental prices here in our community have skyrocketed just in the past couple of years. And it does seem to be getting worse. And, you know, someone who maybe their only income is their Social Security and it's $730 or $750 a month, but rent for one bedroom could be anywhere from $900 to $1,200 a month. You can't afford it.
How many homeless shelters are there in Charlotte County, Kelly?
We have one.
There's one homeless shelter. How many beds does it have?
How many beds?
Yeah.
I think they can house about, I'm going to say 64. Don't necessarily quote me on that.
Well, you are on the radio.
I know. It's somewhere around that. It's not a huge number. And it is, you know, our only shelter. So, unfortunately, there isn't always room. And not everyone wants to come into shelter because maybe it triggers their mental health symptoms. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too much, you know. But I can tell you that nobody is choosing to be homeless, like a lot of people believe. I know that I wouldn't be able to afford the cost of living in Charlotte County on just my income alone. And, you know, I have a career and a college education. We have people out in our woods that have PhDs. So, you know, There are a lot of issues surrounding homelessness, but the only solution to it is housing.
Janet, how many shelters are there? I know shelters are not the answer, but I just am kind of curious. How many shelters are there, and is it an adequate number?
So there's two homeless shelters in Lee County. There's the Salvation Army for women and women with children, and then there's the Fort Myers Rescue Mission for men. So right off the bat, if you're not in a family, you know, you have to be separated. And those are the only two shelters that you can walk into. And I'm not sure of the number of beds. I want to estimate it's about 120 between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know that shelters are not the answer, but affordable housing is. But I recently spoke with a person from the Urban Land Institute, and that individual has started an organization that's trying to address homelessness. And he was telling me that part of the problem is that it's difficult for a homeless person to even get an apartment, even if they have saved up the first and last month's rent, because the application process asks for references, current address, proof of income. It's rather challenging for a homeless person with that particular status to get themselves accepted into a lease program with an apartment. Are you finding that when you're trying to get
right.
housing?
Right. And if they've had something like an eviction or an arrest history, well, mm-hmm. nobody wants to accept them then.
So do you see pushback from landlords
yes,
against
yes.
renting to
so,
homeless people?
Yes, there is. So in our community, we have like different agencies that have housing support specialists that try to make relationships with different landlords so that they can work with the landlord. And if they'll, you know, there's someone there that can – the landlord can go to if there's an issue would be the housing resource locator and help resolve any type of issues. And they can assure them that rent will be paid, that type of thing. So it's establishing those different relationships with landlords to help them assist this population.
So there are organizations out there that are
well,
doing that?
Well, no. Some of them, like the Salvation Army, has someone in that position. The Lee County Department of Human and Veteran Services has someone in that position. So it helps. They have a certain list of landlords that they know they can go to.
And it kind of gives them the reassurance that they think that they might find from the list of references and
right,
all that other
right,
information that
right.
they would get from someone who hadn't found themselves homeless at any point.
But there's still not enough of those landlords willing to assist.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Kelly, are you seeing that up there? Is there an organization up in your neck of the woods in Charlotte County that does something similar?
HUD requires that every community across the country implement what's called the coordinated entry system, which is what I oversee. And it just helps to streamline access to housing and supportive services. And there's a whole process. People are referred and, you know, they're scored by vulnerability and we try to prioritize the most vulnerable. So with the lack of permanent supportive housing and affordable housing, we have had to start developing landlord relationships. And it does help, but as Janet was saying, that unfortunately there aren't enough of those landlords. We need more of those landlords.
To step up and take that risk on people.
Absolutely.
So, Kelly.
The nice thing is that they're getting a third party support system that can, as Janet was saying, help mediate and, you know, intervene before things get out of control or what have you and address issues. And
Interestingly, the program I was referring to earlier that this person has launched up in Charlotte, North Carolina, this person I was talking about, he was talking about how the application process makes it difficult. He said that his organization has started partnering with a lot of landlords, and they'll say, okay, yeah, we'll take two or three. And then within 6 months, they're like, okay, we'll take five. And then
that's great.
It ends up, these are people that end up getting in there and living in these apartments. And they've had very huge success rate, only maybe 1% of a failure rate. So it ended up working out really well for the landlords that got involved in that program. We're about to run out of time, but I just wanted to have both of you remind me a little bit. Kelly, tell me real quick where your event is in Punta Gorda and what people can expect there.
We are going to be at Gilcrest Park at the large pavilion in Punta Gorda. That's right on the water at 400 West Veta Esplanade, Friday, December 21st, from 6:45 to 8:30 p.m. And we're going to have a candlelight vigil, release some lanterns, there'll be music and hot cocoa and coffee. And, you know, we've got a bunch of community members that came together and donated blankets and things that we're going to pass out. And it's just a wonderful time to come and learn about homelessness in our community and what you can do to get involved and to also pay tribute to those lives that were lost. So we really do encourage everyone to come out. We have a wonderful community, and this just really helps to strengthen our bond.
And Janet, tell me real quickly again, is it the old Fort Myers Courthouse?
Yes, the Lee County Courthouse steps, 2120 Main Street at 6 p.m. on Friday, December 21st.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it. That's all the time we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest, Janet Bartos, the Executive Director of the Lee County Homeless Coalition. Thanks so much for coming in today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And I also want to thank Kelly Hunter. She's the Director of Coordinated Services at Gulf Coast Partnership. Kelly, thanks to you as well.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
My co-host today was John Davis. Our show today was produced by Mike Kanairi. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.